Hello, this is Dave Jeffrey welcoming you once again to Optimal Life. It's a program just for us older ones, produced on the RPH network in RPH Studios, Sydney. Today we're going to ask the question, is independent living for you? And do you ever think about singing with a difference? Singing online? Volunteering, as well as helping others, it can give new meaning to your life. We begin today with the subject of travel insurance. It is worth the cost. This is taken from the Senior newspaper in March this year. You know what they say, if you cannot afford travel insurance, then you cannot afford to travel. This is because leaving home without travel insurance could cost you much more than you ever imagined. You don't have to be engaging in risky activities or adventures for things to turn pear-shaped. Accidents and medical emergencies can happen to anyone. They usually happen when you least expect them. The cost to you personally when they happen overseas can quickly skyrocket. As soon as you leave Australia, you're on your own as far as health goes. Medicare does not cover even the most basic essential care overseas. Private health insurance does not cover hospital or surgical treatment abroad. Travel insurance can also cover a range of potentially costly and inconvenient events. While you're traveling, you might have things like lost or stolen baggage. There's cancelled flights. Loss of deposits. These can all add up to thousands of dollars. The cost of this can all be covered by travel insurance. Every policy is different in the value and conditions of cover. For this reason, it's most important to read the fine print in the product disclosure statement. But the most important feature to look for in any travel insurance policy is the unlimited cover. This is cover for emergency assistance. There's medical, hospital expenses while you're overseas. You want a memorable holiday for the right reasons. Whenever you're planning to travel, comprehensive travel insurance gives you peace of mind to keep good times rolling. Now, I'm going to give you a phone number in a moment that could help everyone. It is for the Defence Services Homes Insurance, but they announced that they've partnered with Defence Health to provide travel insurance. And we said it is for defence personnel, but they'll give you advice. Defence Health offers a comprehensive travel insurance tailored to the needs of veterans, also Australian Defence Force members and their families. Now, for more information, visit their travel insurance page. It's dsh.gov.au/insurance. And simply click on travel insurance. Or there's a phone number here, Defence Health Travel Team, and they're on 1-800-622-499. And I'll come back in a moment and say that number again. Even if you're not in the Defence Services, give them a call. The number there is 1-800-622-499, or the website simply dsh.gov.au/insurance. Happy travels, and remember, do not travel without insurance. Now we ask the question, independent living, is it for you? It's taken from the money section of the Sydney Morning Herald on the 2nd of June this year. Keys to living independently. With some simple tips, you can get the right home care package. Written by Rachel Lane. Living independently at home can be great for your well-being, your family, and for your community. The government offers financial support to help you make this happen through home care packages. Now, there are four levels of home care packages available. Level 1 provides the lowest amount of funding. From here, funding increases right through to level 4. This might also include more intensive services. Whatever level of package you receive, the funding is yours to allocate as you see it. You get to choose the provider, the host package, and what mix of approved services you need. This is what you need to support independent living. Here's an example. 5 years after he suffered a stroke, David Worry found out more home care packages were available. He said, I got onto Care Connect through friends. They were getting a package through them, and I could see that they were struggling, he said. I have even heard of home care packages. I spoke to our GP, and he said that I was qualified. My home care package has given me back my independence. Before my stroke, I was very involved in the community, but not being able to drive made it impossible to maintain my commitments. My package now helps me pay for all sorts of things. Things like gym membership. Even for my glasses, they'll pay for that. Someone's come and cleaned the windows in my house. They do some heavy gardening a couple of times a year. Also pays for taxis. This has meant that I don't have to rely on my wife so much to take me everywhere. He said, it's been about 7 years since my package started. It's been a real lifesaver. All right, we're going to ask the question now, who is eligible? Okay, you need to have an ACAT evaluation. That's A-C-A-T, and it stands for Aged Care Assessment Team. This assessment is free, and it will normally be conducted in your home. You're welcome to have a friend or family member attend the meeting with you. In fact, this is a good idea. If you need an interpreter, well, they can arrange that for you as well. There is no age restriction on receiving a home care package. It's based on whatever your requirements are. Now, there are four levels of the package. The higher the level, the higher the financial assistance. A level one package comes with a home subsidy of $24.07 a day, while on level four package, it's worth $139.70 a day. In addition to the basic subsidy, there are supplements to support people with special care needs. These are things such as dementia. Now, there is a waiting time for your assessment to be conducted. This can be anything from a few weeks to a few months, depending on your needs and your location, of course. Now, here's a tip, and this is very important. Many people delay applying for a package until the need is urgent. Do not wait. Apply early. Now, I'm going to say that again. Do not wait. Apply early. The earlier the better. You can apply as early as you like. Another tip. As part of your ACAT assessment, the team will also look at other services that may assist you, things like staying in your aged care home, even a permanent entry to an aged care home. Think of your ACAT like a passport. If you're approved, you can use it and the government will fund it. Simple. If you are not approved, you will need to be reassessed again later. Now, that's an important paragraph there. Get it approved early, and if it's not approved, you can be reassessed later. Now, another very important thing, and this is a trap to be aware of. The purpose of the assessment is to determine what support you need to live independently. Now, you might want to put your best foot forward, but do not say, I'm fine. Now, we're not telling you to lie here, but tell them how it is on your worst day. Two things. Never tell lies, but always state your health on your worst day. People tend to downplay their ability to need support. It won't be in your best interests. Okay, what happens next? Assuming that you've been approved for a home care package when you receive your assessment back, that's known as the support plan, it will list the services you've been approved for. You will be placed in the National Prioritisation Queue. Now, there's about 120,000 people waiting in the queue at the moment for home care packages. Almost 72,000 are waiting without a home care package, although they may be on Commonwealth support programs. Nearly 48,000 are waiting with an interim package. This means it's a lower level package than their assessed need. The average wait time for packages 2, 3 and 4, the highest levels of support, is more than 12 months. However, there are regular reports of people waiting more than 2 years. Another tip here. While waiting for your package to commence, it's a great time to research which home care package provider you want to host your services. Okay, independent living. There is a lot of money out there, but you've got to research it. And if you're having trouble, get someone to help you. Probably a younger person's better, I find. But two things. Don't wait. Apply early, and you can wait till you're ready for it, but put it in. Get the ball rolling. And secondly, do not downplay the support that you need. We all tend to say, oh yes, I'm fine. No, that's wrong. As we said before, do not tell lies, but tell them how you feel on your worst day. The place to start all this is your ACAT, that's Aged Care Assessment Team Evaluation. There is one near you. Give them a call. Good luck with it. Ever thought about singing online? Well, with the coronavirus, it's just the way to go. Choirs, not to spray lip service. And that's it, S-P-R-A-Y, lip service. This is on Wednesday, June the 3rd in the Sydney Morning Herald in the arts section, written by Nick Gavin. David Bidwell rarely missed a Wednesday night rehearsal since discovering choral singing 12 years ago. He said, it's just what I do. It's not negotiable. I never just do not turn up unless I'm away or I'm sick. But now Bidwell is desperately missing practicing with his choir. Now the choir's called Timbre Flaws, T-I-M-B-R-E-F-L-A-W-S. I'll have a bit more to say about this at the end. There's no phone number, and I don't think it's right that I give you one because he doesn't mention it, but look it up on the net. It's most interesting. He said choral singing everywhere fell silent in mid-March due to the pandemic. I'm missing it a lot. And it's not just about the music. A lot of it is about the social side. It's a great group of people, like a big extended family. We've all become great friends and done a lot of travelling overseas together. Bidwell's frustration is shared by many thousands of amateur singers unable to rehearse and perform in community halls. They used to go in schools, churches, around the clubs. But while singers are desperate to get back to making music and seeking friends, there are concerns about choral singing. It is uniquely problematic. Now listen to this. It's problematic when it comes to the spread of the coronavirus. He said group singing is considered a high-risk activity due to the increased chance of spreading COVID-19. A spokesperson for New South Wales Health said singers inhale and exhale more air at a greater moisture volume than when they are speaking normally. Virtual choirs or online choirs are definitely the safest option at this point in time. He said singing groups consisting of vulnerable people are especially encouraged not to have face-to-face meetings. Recent work by the University of New South Wales PhD student Pratek Bal underscores the potential risks. His work focuses on visualising respiratory flows to understand how diseases are transmitted. Using a high-powered light source, he filmed a subject singing the tonic SOFA scale, S-O-F-A. The resulting video shows masses of tiny droplets called aerosols projecting from the singer's mouth. This was particularly on the syllable fa, F-A. We did not expect to see this many droplets from speaking or singing, he said. It was much higher than our expectations. He said most of the droplets in the video are aerosols, so they don't settle easy. They float. They can fill an entire room if you're singing for hours. Stuart Davis conducts Timbre Flaws and other community choirs. He's been devastated by the shutdown. He said masses of my work disappeared over 3 days. I had weekend workshops, day workshops, and overseas workshops. They're all just cancelled now. My income has taken a catastrophic hit. However, he has managed to keep his 3 choirs running, staging online rehearsals. He does this via the conferencing application Zoom. And when restrictions were relaxed recently to allow up to 5 visitors in homes, he began experimenting with streaming mini socially distanced choir rehearsals. He did these from his home. He said it's kind of like you're there and you're hearing all the parts. You're just sitting at home, but otherwise, musically, you're getting the experience. Davis said he was racking up his brains to come up with a safe way of resuming mass rehearsals, but so far he has not found an answer. He said people have said, why can't we just meet outdoors somewhere? That's conceivable, but the winter's coming and standing outdoors in the dark in the middle of winter, it just doesn't sound like a great experience to me. The question is whether they will open for everyone except choirs. Information's now coming out what might happen. They might end up saying, you can have a football game, you can go to the pub, but you cannot sing in a choir. Now, if you like singing, this sounds interesting. As I said at the start of this article, I don't think it's fair for me to give out a number. I looked it up on the net. It's pretty easy to find. It's Timbre Flaws. T-I-M-B-R-E-F-L-A-W-S. And there's quite a lot of info there. Good luck if you like singing. It could be just for you. Well, volunteering needs something in your life. It is a great help to others, and it can really help your life get more meaning. It's entitled, Want a Wellbeing Boost? Volunteering may be just the tonic for you. It's taken from the health section in March, and it's written by Dr. Loretta Poirero. There is a lot of talk about wellbeing and the need for an holistic approach to mental health and health in general. There's a lot of benefits to volunteering. Your family, the community in general will greatly benefit from this. It is not surprising that the Deakin University research shows that Australians who undertake part-time volunteering roles report higher levels of subjective well-being. The evidence for looking at our health in a much broader way is very compelling. Understanding what keeps us well and builds resilience provides a wonderful opportunity to think more broadly about what human beings need to flourish. Volunteering is one area that's gaining momentum. Regaining momentum after participation slumped around the year 2014. Connection to meaningful activity, whether paid or voluntary, is a key factor in experience of well-being. Volunteering has many benefits. It can increase your perception of what makes a difference in your life, as an individual and as a group. It's an important part of the world to you. It can create a sense of purpose, a sense of accomplishment, a sense of competence, and it can boost social resources and positive effects. As if that is not enough to have you on the phone to your local volunteering organisation, did you know that giving to others can also boost your mental and physical health? It can reduce stress, combat depression, keep you mentally stimulated, provide a sense of purpose. For example, studies of aging populations have linked volunteering to improved self-reported health. It gives increased physical functioning, better cognitive functioning, reduced depressive symptoms, and longer lives. Volunteering can also be very effective in fostering meaningful relationships and social engagements. Turn to helping to mitigate isolation and loneliness. If you're struggling to get out of the house or feel social chit-chat is a waste of time for you, then focus on a passion of interests. There you can meet like-minded people. They'll engage in meaningful activities and conversations. Why not have a look at the many volunteering opportunities that are near you? A recent government survey told us that 5.8 million contributed over a 12-month period 743 million hours of voluntary work to the community. It's amazing to think how that support has helped to create thriving communities across Australia. This equates to 31% participation, which was lower than in 2010. That was 36% in that year. The most common reason identified for being a volunteer was to help others and the community. That was 64%. More than half identified personal satisfaction, 57%. They like to do something worthwhile, 54%. Personal or family involvement, 45%. Social contact, 37%. And just to be active was 35%. They're also reported as reasons for volunteering. The highest rates of volunteering were among young people aged 15 to 17 years. That was 42%. Now those aged 35 to 44, 39%. And older people, 65 to 74, 35% of them volunteered. In researching what the volunteering world has to offer, it was astounding to see the breadth of opportunities. Marine conservation, working in homeless shelters, being a board member on worthwhile groups, right through to working with injured animals. If you're looking for work, volunteering can also be a pathway to employment. Volunteering Australia is a place to start if you do not have a particular area where you'd like to focus. Ex-service organisations can also be a place to volunteer your time and skills. Now, the benefits of volunteering are not just for the individuals. Volunteering can change who we are as a society. Our values and perceptions of others around us can be changed. Being kind and generous can foster a more positive view of others and a higher sense of having peace in the community. You're wanting to work with others. You want to create a better world. So, whether you want to help out at the local footy club, maybe the men's shed, a bake-off, you might want to join an overseas volunteer organisation, there is something for everyone. Potentially profound benefits at an individual and social level for everyone. Couple of things. It's a great help for you personally, and it can also be a help if you're looking for a job, for employment. Go see a bit of volunteering, and that can lead to it. Okay, where do you start? Well, there's a couple of websites here. Volunteerworld.com, that's pretty simple. And there's the Australian Wellbeing Unity Index. Volunteering, think about it. It is good for everyone. Hey, you might even like to think about volunteering here at Radio 2RPH. Tell you what, it's a lot of fun and you do a great service to the community. Why not give us a call? Sydney, 02-9518-8811. I might see you here. You're listening to Optimal Life on the RPH Network. We're going to change tempo a little now and look at the subject of money and superannuation. It's wise to pay extra for super incentives. This came from the Sydney Morning Herald on Monday, June the 8th. Written by Anthony Keane, they say, got any spare cash? Maybe you've cancelled a trip overseas with coronavirus. Cancelled an event? Think about putting it into your super. Putting spare cash into your super fund pays off in the long term. Early access to superannuation has dominated debate about retirement nest eggs in recent weeks, but it's clouding other benefits now available to super savers. You've got to get onto this quickly this month, but it's very, very beneficial. June is a great time to revisit your super because taking action this month can deliver thousands of dollars. How? It can deliver these in tax savings and other long-term benefits. More than 2 million Australians are tipped to take advantage of the government allowing early release superannuation withdrawals. You can take out $20,000 now. But that is still a small proportion of the nation's 27.5 million super fund accounts. Many people have spare cash after cancelling travel or special events and other big expenses and perks during the COVID-19. Now, Perks and Private Wealth Director, that's a company, the director there, Simon Wotherspoon, said government stimulus payments could help some people contribute extra. This will get extra in your superannuation account. Okay, there's a couple of ways here. One is a co-contribution. This is most interesting. If your gross income is below $38,500 and you put $1,000 in after-tax money into your super, the government will inject $500. I'll just say that again. If you've got a low income, you put $1,000 in, the government will give you another $500. Not bad. It's a 50% return, he said. Now, people earning $53,500 this financial year can receive some contribution, not as much. Next heading, tax-deductible contributions. These are also known as concessional contributions. They include employer compulsory contributions to your salary, also salary sacrifice, and they're capped at $25,000 a year. You can make these contributions at any time, and June is a popular period to do it. Now, carry forward super. This financial year is the first time that people can carry forward unused concessional contributions from the previous year. You can add them to this year's annual $25,000 limit. That is, as long as your balance is below $500,000. This delivers flexibility to manage tax issues such as capital gains. Now, another one might be interesting here, spouse incentives. If on behalf of your spouse you make an after-tax contribution to the fund of $3,000, you get an offset of $540. This equates to 18% return, he said. You could also split up to 75% of the super contribution with your partner. This helps couples equalize the account balance. This can help with retirement planning strategies. He said, make sure you get some advice on this. It can be very worthwhile come tax and super time. You've been listening to Optimal Life on the RPH Network. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. Dave Jeffrey saying thank you for being with me. Look forward to your company again soon. Bye now.